next item, which is item 10, any key significant issues from Health Department. So, Maggie first and Martin.
Thanks, Johnny. If I may, we'll start with some highlights from mental health because Leslie will have to leave us after she's done this decision. Have you booked it?
And we talked about the vision and some of the work that we're doing around community mental health services. We've got four big transformation programmes that are in progress at the moment. One is around community mental health, one's about rehabilitation services, older people's mental health services, and learning disability services. Those pieces of work are all engaging staff and people who use services and looking to future models. But we'll be really clear that there's a huge amount of work to do in mental health and disability services. Systems are quite broken in a number of ways. And so through the process, the transformation programme, we're looking for opportunities all the time to make changes. And across all of those services, we're starting to see changes happen already. And I think sometimes they're not as obvious as they could be, so I want to take an opportunity to talk about some of the things that have already happened over 2018 in mental health services. I think some of the things to highlight are really strengthened leadership across, clinical leadership across our services, and that includes the recent appointment of a very senior psychologist, which has been a real gap in our service, and I think we'll see really significant shift in the delivery of psychological therapy over 2019 as he comes into post and starts to have an impact. We've seen in our acute inpatient services a quite significant reduction in beds. So in our adult inpatient services, we've gone down from 30 to 23 inpatient beds in the last year. It's a really big reduction, and it's happened well before the community mental health service changes have really had traction. I think we'll be able to see in future further reduction in bed use, but actually the achievement so far has been really positive. I think a really good shift for people with serious mental health problems on the island. And the community mental health team, they've been doing a lot of work to align to the localities and to make sure that they're really putting mental health into some of the locality working. And they're also changing the way that they respond to people who are in crisis. So they've developed a new model that really makes sure that we're getting resources in the right place for people in crisis. In our older people's mental health services, again, there's been a significant reduction in beds. So our inpatient ward for people with dementia has reduced its bed numbers to only four now. We've established a number of step-down beds that would enable people to stay out of the community and avoid admission. And our rehabilitation services, I think, are worth noting as well. Mental health rehabilitation is a very small service. It's very focused on people with high risk and complex need. We have a number of people who require mental health rehabilitation service off-island, a very limited service on-island. And we've reduced half the number of people who are receiving off-island care in the last 2 years. So at the moment there are 17 individuals off-island. That's the lowest that I've seen in 4 years. But that represents a significant financial benefit, but it also significantly improves clinical outcomes. And it puts us in a position where over the next year we can start to look at a very small number of people, 17 off island, 10 on island, who are receiving bed-based rehabilitation, to bespoke a model of care for those individuals in the future. So we'll see, with those kind of foundations this year, the delivery of some of the transformation programmes over the next year. One of the things that we're really focused on is starting to work in a more integrated way outside the organisations. We've talked about the authority in the third sector, but actually the opportunities we're talking about within the organisation as well now, particularly when you look at dementia and frailty, and the overlap between mental health, community division, acute division, and the work that we can do, the opportunities of pulling those services together for the benefit of people with dementia is huge. And so that's, again, something that we'll focus on in the years to come.
Thank you. Let's see, Brian.
He has left, but I'm
I'm meeting Councillor Lilly next week, actually, so I want to have that discussion. And I'm happy to share everything.
I don't want to give you any extra work, but just make sure I'll give you like once.
Thank you for that update, Leslie and Maggie. Yes, please.
Would you like to just touch on a couple of the other highlights in one place for us? I think, as I said earlier, we remain a very challenged organisation. A lot of our areas of constraint have been focused on flow. So when we get very congested, it has that knock-on effect, as I've just indicated, onto our ability to do our referral treatment as well. And as I've said, I'm pleased with the progress that we've made over the last 6 weeks. I wanted to say we're still not able to completely comply with our cancer targets. There's good and bad news. The good news is in all of our specialties, apart from urology, we've made a significant improvement. Urology sadly is bringing the denominator down for us. We're in constant discussions with Portsmouth about how we can improve that pathway for patients. Some of the breaches are because we are referring patients a very late stage in their pathway. Others are down to the fact that Portsmouth can't accommodate them in a timely fashion once they refer them in. So we continue to have a lot of dialogue with Portsmouth about how we can improve that experience of patients. We do have a clinical senate kind of set up, so if we've got a patient on any of the pathways and who's being delayed, then we have a clinical conversation about what the consequences of that may be. We don't have patients just languishing on waiting lists. We do have a very active case management for all of them. And I'm really pleased to say, tell you that our diagnostic delays, we're almost back on the trajectory. Now, some of the problems we had with our MR scanner, we've got the second unit in place. We saw some slips within our sonographers earlier in the year, which impacted on our ability to treat people in a timely fashion. And now a lot of those issues have resolved, and I'm expecting the performance in those areas to be good. Pleased to tell you that we've currently got some 2 members of staff out in the Philippines, recruiting 80, they've gone out with the aspiration to recruit 80 qualified nurses. We've brought that recruitment forward. It was planned to be later in the year, but because of the internal conversations that we had, we decided to expedite that. We're planning to bring those 80 nurses in over 5 cohorts during the course of the year, and they will all be up and running and operational by this time next year, by the winter period for 2019-20. So that's really good news for us. We had an assurance visit last week from NHSI, and we had some areas that we still need to focus on, all areas that we cited on, so that was good news. But they gave us some positive assurance that the visitors were the regional medical director for NHSI and the regional chief nurse and a member of their team, all who've known the trust longer than I would there. And they gave us feedback that they could feel that there was a definite shift in all the areas that they visited. They looked at all of the areas where the CQC have raised issues for us in the past, and they were very pleased with the progress that we were making. They were very complimentary about our 0-19 year service, some of the changes in the community, changes in mental health services that Leslie's alluded to. And particularly, they were pleased with the Winter Ward, Compton Ward, and how much it was operating in a more positive way than this time last year. And they were also very pleased with the changes that we've been making with the CCG around the configuration of our emergency department and our ambulatory care facility. So we still have no formal confirmation from the CQC about the dates of their visit. You'll remember for inadequate services, we were expecting to be visiting within a 12-month period. Well, the 12-month period is up on the 23rd of January, and we have, prior to the inspection, we should be notified. So they request what they call as a provider information request data set. They usually give you 16 weeks notice from the submission of that request to the visits, although they can do their unannounced visits whenever they'd like to. So currently we were expecting visits in January. Unless they're unannounced visits, we've got no formal notification now that that will occur. We're really, I suppose, schizophrenic in the trust about those visits. We're keen for them to happen because we do believe we've made substantial progress in a number of areas, but we're also pragmatic to know that if they come on a very busy day in the middle of winter, if we do get harsh conditions, they may not see us in our best light. And that's really sums up my life at the moment.
Who can take up this issue about the winter funding for you?
I don't really believe there is an issue that you can take up for us. Nationally, the decision was made by the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care to allocate money in a different way this year. And sadly, it isn't the same amount of money that we would have liked to have received. But it's forcing us to work differently, and I think Carol would agree with that. If we'd have had the funding in as we'd expected it, it would have paid for our winter ward. It wouldn't have enabled us to do some of the work in the innovative way that Carol's described. So we can speak after our trust boards if you're there, John, as well, around where our financial position is heading. It's not the only contributing factor to the deterioration, but it's certainly a factor that's in there.
Okay, all right. We'll move on to Martin. Martin, before you speak, it might be relevant to put this into some sort of context that it wasn't a year ago that this committee effectively